A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord, beloved. The word of the Lord. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. I rejoiced because they said to me, "We will go up to the house of the Lord." And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city with compact unity. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. According to the decree for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. In it are set up judgment seats, seats for the house of David.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundam Luca.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors, one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another he said, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. Verbum Domini.
Good morning, everyone. I'm very grateful for my visit here to EWTN. My name is Monsignor Brian Bransfield. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. I'm also very grateful to Father John Paul for the invitation to offer this homily. Our gospel this morning is a bit perplexing. It's a puzzle, in a sense. And on hearing it, we almost say, I need to read that again. And so let's read it again, slowly. Jesus said to his disciples, a rich man had a steward. And already we see the scene is set. There is the rich man, and there is the steward, who was reported to him for squandering his property. And now all of a sudden, this third anonymous person comes on the scene. Who made this report? Was it his conscience, the steward? Was it someone who looked over his shoulder? Was it someone like him, trying to angle to get more? I imagine it was his conscience, because our conscience captures what we're doing in the deepest places of our soul. It captures us. It was reported to the rich man. And what does the rich man do? Does he throw a fit? Does he get angry? Does he call HR and dismiss him? What does the rich man do? Look at this interesting rich man. He summoned him. He called him. The rich man, out of his riches, calls the one who has offended him. He calls him. And he said, what is this I hear about you? Notice God hears our conscience too. What is this I hear about you? He asks the question. We're back in Eden, aren't we? Genesis 3, where are you? Whenever we sin, God does not throw a fit. He doesn't offer ultimatums. He doesn't stamp his feet. He asks the question, where are you? Eden, Genesis 3, where are you, is the first examination of conscience in history. But here it is again. What is this I hear about you? He's inviting the man to an examination of conscience. It's an act of mercy. This is a very rich man. But he's not just rich in worldly things, possessions. He's rich in mercy. The examination of conscience is the early action of mercy. What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship. Examine your conscience. Because you can no longer be my steward. I'm ending that situation of sin for you. You can no longer do that. So the rich man's not a pushover. You can no longer do that. But I want an account. I want you before me to respond. I'm not dismissing you. I've called you closer to myself. The steward said to himself, he's in his conscience now. But it's a wounded conscience. It's a malformed conscience. What shall I do? The ego and pride, the old sin, pride, shows up in many forms. Now that my master, notice he's a rich man, but he sees him as a master. There's a difference. He does not yet see him as rich. He sees him as a master. He must change that view. That must fall away, and it will by grace. He's taking my position away. We get so fascinated with positions. He's taking it away. It's an act of mercy. I'm taking away the occasion of sin from you. But I'm not destroying you. I'm removing it. And notice now the moment of contrition. Imperfect, but contrition. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. His wounds, his weakness, I am not strong enough. It's as if he's going to confession with his wounds. I am not strong, I am weak. He's acknowledging his own humility is peeking through. It's not full-fledged humility, but it's peeking through self-knowledge. I am not strong enough to dig. And I am ashamed, shame. The great wound of shame. You know, there's a difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is about what I do. So if I do something improper, guilt can be healthy. Can remind me, hey, what I did there, I should correct, that I should not defraud my employer. But shame is never good. Guilt is about what I do. Shame is about who I am. In our deepest mistake, we are never a mistake. In our deepest sin, we are never sin itself. The rich man is nearby. I know what I shall do. So that when I am removed, notice he's not removed yet. The rich man allows him room. That others may welcome me. There's the healing. The welcome is the healing, the invitation. All of a sudden, even though it's still the self-centered, he's concerned with others. He's growing. Something's happening. We call it the transformation in grace. That leads us from sin through Christ and his merits to redemption. And he calls in his man. What is he doing? He called in his man. Who does he look like now? The master. The rich man. What did the rich man do when this man defrauded him? He called him. Now he's doing something the master did. He called in the debtors one by one. The conscience, one by one. How much do you owe? Olive oil, wheat. Once we step into the sacrament of penance, the great sacrament of confession, the other sacraments start to come into view. Oil, sacrament of healing. Wheat, Holy Mass, the Eucharist. Already something is forming in his life. He is giving oil and wheat away to prepare for something, to prepare for the healing of others. And now what does the master do? Notice the master knows, and he's saying master now because he's on the level of this poor man caught in his sin. The master commended that dishonor. He commended him. What an action of grace that while we are still on the way to God, while we stand in the line for confession, God is already active in his grace that comes before. The tradition calls it prevenient grace. It comes before. God is always moving to call us back to him. He never grows tired. That's his riches. He commended the steward, the dishonest steward. Now he's dishonest. The sins are coming out, the purging, the purgative way, for acting prudently, the virtue. Prudence is the linchpin of all the virtues. And prudence means do the right thing now. He's doing something out of self-centeredness, but he wants to be welcomed, to be in relationship, to be healed. And then the commendation begins the healing. The gospel doesn't tell us where the healing ends in this passage, but it comes to its culmination on the cross and resurrection and ascension. For each one of us, we stand before the rich man, and he knows us, he loves us. And as we find our wounds, he wants to heal us, to call us ever closer to himself. The gospel at first can seem like a puzzle, can it? Doesn't it? But it's not. Puzzles are meant to be solved. The gospel is a mystery. We never solve mysteries. The beautiful thing about mysteries is they only deepen. And so the mystery deepened for this steward. And today, as we step close to this altar, every day as we step close to this altar, we meet the rich man. And the mystery deepens.